Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, my friends. I thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining me on a Friday, a rainy Friday in Houston, which is something that we really, really need. So I'm hoping that each of y'all that are listening right now can understand that the rain is needed. Amen? It is needed. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Our email address, you can email me at therev at midwatchwiththerev.com. That is therev at midwatchwiththerev.com. Or you could just email David at revmedianetwork.com or David at revministries.com. Anyway, I'm going to open up my Shantango site. I'm glad that y'all can tune in and glad that y'all are listening to our programs and to everything that we're doing. And it's Friday. You've made it. Weekend starts for most of us. Some of us work on the weekend. Some of us don't. So today is going to be a special day, and I'm going to talk to you a minute about it. Let me get this Shantango opened up for us, and God is good. I hope you've been enjoying the shows. We've been talking to a lot of different people about getting on the air, so we're hoping to bring you more influential broadcasting, and hopefully that you can tune in. I hope y'all listened last night to Dana Smith's show, and I hope it's called Warn Radio. I hope you listened to 8 o'clock Central Standard Time last night. He broadcasts from Wyoming, and he does a great job. I mean, he pretty much takes over our signal and just goes with it for a couple hours, and we are logged in to Shantango. So on your browsers or anything that you see there, you can actually go ahead and chat with me while I'm on the station. Now, I'm going to do something really cool. Hopefully, this plays out. I don't know for sure. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does. We'll see. Let me lower this over here and see if this works out. Amen. Today is our day on relationships. Now, the day on relationships is going to be pretty cool. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. Today we're going to talk about, and I'll give you the subject matter in a sec. I'm just trying to find something on my computer so I can play for y'all. I've been thinking about doing this. Here it goes. Relationships. Today. Love. Mondays and Friday. All right, that's our little promo to let you know what we're talking about today. So God is good, and I'm hoping the sound is going through it. We're just going to believe God that it's pushing right through the sound system, and we'll check it out at the end of the night, see how it is. Today's subject is talking about the Christian stalker. The Christian stalker. How many of us know that I'm talking about stalking groceries, I'm talking about stalking individuals. I'm going to get into this in just a second, but just to let you know that I'm not trying to make fun of the situation, but I'm going to talk about it to try and open up the situation. There is a lot of times that we see different people of love that we care about, that we want to be with, that we hope to be with in our lives, that it doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. A lot of times we put our love and our trust in someone and it just isn't enough to hold them there. This is something I have said and I will always say, and this is something that I mean, and that is this. You can't hold someone in your life. You can't keep someone there that doesn't want to be there. You can't keep them no matter what you do, No matter how you act, no matter how much you love them, if they're going to leave, they're going to leave. Some people say, oh, well, come on, let's just face it now. Let's just get it done. Today, we're talking about relationships. And I'm talking about Christian stalking.
Relationships. Every Monday, every Friday.
Amen. Okay, well, God knows that we put our love and our trust in people's lives, and then they're gone. Or say you get tired of being with someone, and you're the one, and no matter how much this person loves you, no matter how much they try and stay in your life, you jet. What's up with that? Well, let me tell you this, my friends. It's easy to become a stalker, especially a Christian one, because you have every excuse to try and stay with that person. You have every excuse to try and make things work. You have every excuse that you take your entire belief, entire principle of what you're doing, and you try and stay in their lives. What's the craziest thing you've done to try and keep someone? What's the craziest thing that you've done to try and keep someone in your life? Obsession can be dangerous. You can take the word of God and change it in different ways. Today's a guest coming to the studio in just a few minutes. It's going to be my pastor, David Hope. He's going to talk about our scripture of the day. When we do that, we're going to have some interesting things to talk to you about the word of God, because people can take God's word and can change things around. People can take God's word and try and make it to where it sounds like it benefits them, when it's not supposed to be twisted and turned. But not to get off our subject matter, the Christian stalker, you're dependent upon someone emotionally. And it's not just that person, because if you put your heart on them and you put your love on them and you put your attention on them, and then all of a sudden they're gone, whoever steps into that relationship in between that is going to get that same love, that same attention, that same compassion, that same affection, but they're also going to inherit the same fighting, the same arguing, because you're not fixed. Either on the Christian stalking, you're the one leaving, or you're the one being left. Either of y'all got to get fixed. In my book, Almost Out of Grace, I don't know if many of you bought it. If you haven't, you can buy it anywhere retailers that sell books. And page 29 is where chapter 4 starts. I put this in my book. I'm going to read you the first paragraph. I believe there are different ways in which God shows us whom we are to marry. Some of you may be overwhelmed with excitement when you receive the news. Some will feel dread. If God gives you this knowledge, you have been entrusted with an awesome responsibility. Imagine no one from the Most High God, whom He picked for you. What will you do with that information? Second paragraph reads, unfortunately, many men and women of God allow emotions to overtake them instead of the Spirit. Many Christians become stalkers of their future promised husbands or wives. I want to share with you a couple of stories about some people, men and women of God, who receive special revelations from the Lord about the identity of their future spouse. The two outcomes are very different. Now, I'm not going to get into that. If you want more information on that, buy the book. I may teach it again. I may teach on it at a later time. I might. So, best thing is to get the book. You can get an ebook, $5.95 on my website, revministries.com, revmedianetwork.com, or Red Media Publishing, or even at almostoutofgrace.com. Emotions. They make the best of you. Why? I think the biggest thing in emotions, or the biggest two things in emotions, is there's no patience when it comes to emotions, and it's spontaneous. They rule you. And I found that scripture that I shared with you last Monday or last Friday, and I couldn't remember where it was. It was in the same chapter. And let me change my Bible over here. In Proverbs, turn to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. There it is. I told you I'd find it for you if you came back. And you came back today, so you get the scripture. Proverbs 25, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. My brother, my sister, what will make you no rule over your spirit is your emotions. No patience. Spontaneous. And bad judgment is what your emotions will bring to any relationship if you don't get it dealt with. If you don't get it touched, get it fixed, or work on it. God wants to give you so many things in your life. He wants to touch your life with so many things. He wants to bless you, bless your family, bless everybody that's in your life. But it starts out with holding your emotions. Why do I bring out Christian Stalker? Why do I make fun of that? Or why do I bring it out to light? Because that's exactly what you are. If you're always waiting for the phone to ring, or if you're worried that the phone hasn't ringing and you picked up the phone 7 or 8 times and it hasn't ring, you become to get paranoid. And paranoia activates some crazy emotions. Paranoia dictates erratic behavior. So if you end up giving your heart to someone, make sure you have patience to hold on. Because maybe they are going to leave. Maybe they will end up walking away. Maybe they will stop visiting with you. Maybe they will be with someone else. What hurts you the most? You making the wrong choice? Or God making the right choice? Think about that. Amen and amen. We're just so happy that you're able to come back and hear our show. We've been talking about obsessions. We've been talking about dependencies and love. We've been talking about the Christian Stalker. We've been talking about the Christian Stalker. I just got a reminder that they have not heard our little favorite friend, and that's this. That is the bell. That is the bell. And what I want to talk to you about are more things that keep you from becoming a Christian Stalker. Of course, paranoia creates or leads to erratic behavior. Erratic behavior leads to possession, or demolition. Either you're going to be possessive in your relationship, or you're going to be demolitive in your relationship. What is demolitive, or demolition, or whatever, however you want to say it? It is destroying it. It is picking at it. It is starting fights. It is pushing people to the brink till they don't want to see you. What if God gives you someone that you know that is your future husband, your future wife, and because of your paranoia, your emotions, your impatience, you following them, you checking their emails, you going over there and checking the bank account, checking everything about them, seeing where they're ending up on their receipts. What if that paranoia leads you to letting someone go? Now, don't get me wrong. Some people need that kind of supervision. But what if your paranoia is wrong? What if your motives look like you're becoming jealous and insane. Well, what do you think? What do you think? We're going to go ahead and bring in the scripture of the day a little bit early today. So I want y'all to get ready. We're going to talk about that. But I want y'all to think about that. I want you to think about the paranoia and the effect that everybody's having out there. So, and welcome to the scripture of the day. Today we have Pastor David Hope, who just came into the studio. Say hi, Pastor.
Hello, everyone.
You're coming in good on your sound? Perfect, actually. I'm going to put you back a bit. Pastor has a more timid voice. Mine is more out loud, and just that's just how I talk. So our adjustments are different on the speakers. Pastor, scripture of the day, what do we got?
2 Timothy 3:16.
Okay, I got that. I can read that. I'll read it for us, Pastor. I had it marked. Okay, here it goes. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Is that the scripture that we're looking at, or is it something else?
That's it.
That's it. Amen. I'll let you give us your take on that, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. Well, the point I would like to make is some people mistake that as thinking that because something is in Scripture, for example, the devil is in Scripture, and he talks, and he's the father of all lies. So we certainly wouldn't want him to be our teacher. And so what this means is the Scriptures, if you study to show yourself approved, like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, let me just read that. It's sort of a companion to it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in my book, The Goodness of God, there's a portion in there about the book of Job. And the point that I make is Job said things that were not true because he didn't have good knowledge and revelation of God. Later, he learns about God when he meets God face to face. But it's true that he said those things. They were wrong. They were not scriptural. They didn't line up with other scriptures. But it's true that he said that. So just because something's in the Bible doesn't make it true, it's true that someone said that. For example, Ananias and Sapphira were not inspired of God to lie, to say they had given everything. But Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, wrote the truth that they said it under the inspiration of God. And so I have some examples of what I'm talking about. For example, Jezebel said to her husband, King Ahab, just take Naboth's land from him. I'm paraphrasing. And she was not inspired of God, led by the Spirit of God, to do that. Korah said about Moses, again, I'm paraphrasing, Moses is not God's man to lead God's people. Well, Korah was not inspired of God to say that, but the writer of the book was inspired to write the truth that Korah said that. Lucifer said, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. Certainly was not led by the Spirit of God or inspired of God to say that or have that attitude. King Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked over all of his kingdom that God had given him, said, look at all this that I've accomplished. He was not led by God or inspired of God to have that heart attitude or to say those words. But it's true that he said those words. And of course, Satan, Jesus, throw yourself down and worship me. Goliath, I defy the armies of the living God. So you can see my point there. And then it's not just for the heathens. God's people can misspeak in the Bible because they're human. That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we won't be ashamed. Because if we blame God for the bad things that the devil does, when we stand before Jesus, we're going to be ashamed. Now here's God's people. King David said, put Uriah on the front lines. He wanted his wife, Bathsheba, so he put him on the front lines so he would die. He was not led by God to commit that act of murder. But it was true that he said that. Peter said, I don't know the man. They said, your speech gives you away. You've been with Jesus. He said, I don't know the man. Swore with an oath. Again, he was not led by God. Abraham said about Sarah, she's my sister. He was not inspired of God to say that. But it's true that he said that. And it's in the Word of God. And Joseph's brothers. I'll just be my last example.
Go ahead.
Joseph's brothers went to their father and said, oh, father, Joseph is dead. An animal ate him. They were not led by God or inspired by God to say that to their father. But it's true that they said that, and the writer of the book of Genesis was inspired of God to write the truth of what they said.
Now, so if it's in the Bible, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's true.
It's true that they had it, but it doesn't mean they were inspired of God.
Inspired of God. So that's where the clarity is. That it doesn't mean that it was inspired by God. Not everything you read in the Word is inspired by God. There's certain things in there you got to differentiate, because people are going to use that. People say, well, it's in the Bible.
Right.
That doesn't count.
Right. So is the devil, and he's not my teacher. So I'm not going to follow his doctrine. So it's not that all Scripture is inspired of God. What it says is that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So you can know the things that happened are true. And when we're getting instruction from the man of God, like Paul or Timothy or someone like that, or Paul, I guess, wrote that too, that we can take that to the bank. But there's evil people in the Bible, and they should not be shaping our doctrine, like the Pharisees. We don't want to follow them.
That's true.
We want to follow Jesus.
Amen. Now, that's our scripture of the day.
David, if I might, I would like to invite your listeners to call in or email, because I just gave a few examples. There's probably hundreds of examples. And in my next printing, I would like to have an appendix where I could list all the scriptures without having to go through them all, just so everyone who reads it will be very, very clear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you have something you want to give to us now, you can at chattangle.com. It's on your browser at the bottom, or on the web page at the bottom, wherever you're listening to our station to. You can start it. My name is Midwatch on there. You can also email us at david@revmedianetwork.com. I will get that to Pastor. Or Pastor, if you have an email, you can give that right now to him as well. You have an email you want them to write? I'll forward it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. I will forward it to Pastor. And also, if you want to visit some of the stuff that Pastor has online, you can find most of his books in our bookstore at therevministries.com or at publishingchristianauthors.com or Rev Media Publishing. Also, you can go to emetrochurch.com, and that's Pastor's website, and you can check that out. Now, Pastor, I had a question I want to ask you real quick.
Okay.
Why are we so dependent on someone else's affection? We're talking about relationships, and Friday's our relationship day, and I'm going to play this song before you even answer that, give you time to think about it.
Okay.
And that's our relationship song. Gets them in the mood. It's about faith. It's about relationships. Monday and Fridays on MidWatch. Okay, you can go ahead and answer, Pastor. Go ahead.
All right. Do I have to use my Barry White voice, or can I just...
Oh, you can.
So why are we so dependent upon other people in a relationship? Or one of the things is because we don't realize, like we should, our value in just who we are as children of God, how special we are, that we're unique, that God made us different than anybody else and has a unique and special plan for our lives. And so instead of valuing our worth based on what God says about us, we value our worth based on what other people say about us, people that we love that are important to us. And of course, it should be important how they feel, but we should see ourselves as far as our value based on what God has said, because man is going to say one thing. The devil and man are going to, the world, I should say, is going to say one thing about you. God is going to say another thing. And whichever one your tongue agrees with is what's going to be in your life. So we need to value ourselves based on what the Word of God says about who we are. That we were bought with the highest price that could be paid, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen. We're just talking about our books and stuff that were available. I think it's awesome, Pastor, that how many ministers are out there that don't even, they have tons of sermons, just like yourself, and it's so easy just to put those, if you take some time, to make it into a book. I mean, I think that a lot of ministers out there need to take action on that and look at something, because like you said that, I remember we were talking at one time, and you said that everybody has something that they're gifted on teaching and stuff. And
yes, people that aren't preachers are teachers of the word, but if you start talking with them, there's one area in biblical studies that they just have a revelation of it,
and a knack. And they may have something that they can share. Mine was on relationships, and I have one about my military life. Pastor has several. He has with the goodness of God, and then he has God's perspective on money, and then he has,
do you want to be healed?
Do you want to be healed?
And currently I'm writing Inhabiting Eternity on the Earth.
Now that's going to be a real thick book. It's a good one. It's a good one. Give us some examples of inhabiting eternity.
Okay. Well, how about this? There's two examples in the Bible where Jesus said somebody had great faith. They're the only two people. And both of them took dominion over time and space. In other words, they inhabited eternity like God. When we're born again, we're put back at the position of Adam. He was never going to die. He inhabited eternity like God, dealt with him spirit to spirit. That's why he was able to name all the animals and so forth. And when he fell from revelation to information, and from being having dominion over time, under the pressure of time. And these examples was the Greek lady who came to Jesus. She was a Gentile. She said, "My daughter is sick. Could you heal her?" And Jesus said, "It's not your time," because the Gentiles were viewed like dogs. And she said, Jesus said, "You just don't feed the good stuff to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And she saw herself being able to receive from Jesus, in other words, going ahead in time to the place in chronological or linear time where the Gentiles could receive. And then, of course, her daughter was not there physically, and so there had to be, by faith, dominion over space. So it was dominion over time and space, and Jesus said, "You have great faith." And her daughter was made whole. And the same with the centurion. He said, "You don't even have to come. I understand authority. Just say the word and my servant would be healed." And Jesus said, "I've not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel." And so the the emphasis there was on dominion over space because his servant was not present at that place. But he also was a Gentile, and so was his servant. So he had to believe for dominion over time and space. And Jesus said that made great faith. So many listeners may say, well, that sounds way out. You know, that's, I don't know if I want to get involved in that.
I got a sound effect for that, but no.
But really, if you're born again, it's too late. You're already involved in it because the Bible says that you may be sitting in your living room or office right now listening to this show, but at the very same time, the Bible says that you're also seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That means you're in two places at one time. You're inhabiting eternity just like God.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. And when is your anticipation of this book to come out?
Oh, wow. I would say...
springtime.
Oh, before that.
Okay. Christmas shopping?
Oh, definitely by then.
Okay. Yeah, we have to take advantage of the sales at that time. We get that out there. But, yeah, our main focus is... My ministry, Revelation Ministry, the focus is evangelizing everywhere we can, media, books, and preaching, and that's what we're doing. The book thing, it's a big thing because a lot of times you can just get a book and you can be sitting on the subway, you can be sitting on a bus, you can be sitting anywhere on a plane, and you can be getting ministered to, and it can help people that normally would not pick up or come into your church or even listen online. So yeah, we're just trying to get through all the mediums, and the radio's doing the same thing. It's hitting people that normally won't go to a church or go to our location where we're at, and they're able to pick it up on their iPods. In fact, we've had the little PSP. I don't know if you know what those are, Pastor, little video games from Sony. We have 18 people listening online on their little PSP games.
Really?
Yeah, so they're able to pick it up and be able to play. They're searching for it, and they're listening. I think they've done over 27 hours of listening on there already. So even in the game. So it could be kids or it can be adults with those things. Who knows? But they're picking it up, and that's a blessing. I think that's unique. And we're going to try and get into other things as well. But I was talking about Christian relationships, about obsession, and about not having patience, becoming spontaneous, and a bad judgment because of emotions. If we let our emotions rule us, we're not going to get far, are we, Pastor?
No, we're not.
No, we need to make sure we make ourselves available to God's counseling. We need to make ourselves available to God's word and to God's man of God in your life, your spiritual father, your spiritual authority in your life, which is your pastor. I think that's where a lot of people go off the chart, is when they don't have that connection. Correct, Pastor?
That's right, because if you can't submit to man who you can see, how are you going to submit to God who you can't see?
Yes, and the whole relationship is built off of Father having so much love for his children that he sent his only begotten son. So the whole thing's built on relationship and authority. That's the whole principle of the Christianity faith that we have. So,
amen.
Anyway, Pastor, thank you for coming. We really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you give us your address for the church?
All right. It is Metro Church. If you want to write to me, my name again is Pastor David Hope, H-O-P-E, Metro Church, M-E-T-R-O, 7811 FM 1960 East, Humble with an H, you know, like be it ever so humble, H-U-M-B-L-E, Texas 77346.
Amen. I'm going to play one more commercial. Let me work with Pastor for a second, and we'll be right back. Amen. Welcome back to the show. So we'll take a couple of minutes just to tell you that my pastor just left right now, just having a few words during the commercial, and he was telling me how he is excited about being on the station. That is a great man of God to sit with, to sit under in this ministry. I tell you what, I'm totally submitted to this ministry, totally submitted to Metro Church, and I help where I can. In fact, we're going to start building some stuff for the youth and for the young kids, and I'm going to get involved beyond doing radio and everything else I want to do and all my desires. And desires are good, but you got to be able to be a blessing to your local community as well. You got to be a blessing to your local ministry. You got to be a blessing to those that can hear and see you regularly. You got to be involved. You can't just not be available to those that are out there. You got to make sure that you're available to your church as well. Sometimes we get too big in our minds, too big in reality. Is no such thing, my friends. You just need to help. Find a place to help your church. find a place to do some things. Well, my friends, we're going to cut out early here on Friday. There's some things that we got to take care of. So this is going to be a short show. We love you. God bless you. We thank you. You have a very, very safe and blessed weekend. Remember to write us, to let us know what's going on in your life. I think we're almost done. That's our time to go, my friends. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Midwatch with the Rev. And we'll talk to you next week on the Midwatch. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Have a good weekend. I'm not going to be able to do that.